3 of the LNC podcast. That's right. As of this week, we have more than a year's worth of podcasts for you to listen to, assuming you only want to listen to one per week. This is episode number 53, as I said. We're dedicating it to Daryl Dawkins this week, Chocolate Thunder, and perhaps we'll come up with some creative nicknames of our own as he did for all of his vicious slams. But if nothing else, we will talk about our favourite subjects. But I am Andrew, joined as always by Ben Arcane.
Hello.
And John can't be with us this week. He's got some matters to take care of. But
pussy.
Oh, very harsh. But stepping up to the plate is, and that's the great way that we use a baseball metaphor for a basketball podcast, but stepping up to the plate is Pat, P-Dub. How are you going, Pat?
Flashy Pat.
Going to fit right in.
Yeah. John, you don't need to worry about coming back.
I've been replaced.
Yeah.
You can still
find John. Laugh, right?
Yeah.
You can still find John, of course, on youtube.com/JiaoSming, but not on this podcast this week, I'm afraid. But we'll have fun, the three of us, a brand new trio. But we do have some stuff to talk about this week, of course, as we always do. NBA Live 14, NBA 2K14, the NBA season rolls on in its early weeks, so we'll get right to it and throw our opinions in your face. But first on the docket this week, I think it was last week we were joking about how, as always, news seems to break as soon as we finish recording. But we did get a couple of days buffer last week, and we got a new developer blog which talked about the controls in the game, signature styles, and defensive AI, defensive strategy options. Pretty in-depth feature, guys, I thought. And we got a few more, another video, some more screenshots showing off the different controls. And Ben, I'll start with you. How did you react to the blog? What do you think of the controls and whatnot?
I liked them. Like, hang on. I was just double checking the blog about that because I wasn't too sure if we covered that one. The signature styles. Okay, yep. I know which blog we're talking about now.
Yeah, there was that one before, but one that new one came out last week that had all the...
Yep.
All the
My apologies for that. I was just double check. It's just like, wait, didn't we talk about
it's
that?
It's all a blur,
yeah,
man.
Exactly. Stone teenagers, I mean. I thought it was interesting. It was good to see some variation in the signature stuff. And it was good that they actually showed some of the triggers, even though it was on an Xbox One controller, which doesn't help me very much, since I'll be buying a PS4. But the one of the interesting buttons that I saw was the defensive stance button. So I want to obviously learn a bit more about what that's going to do and what if you're holding that trigger, and you know, if you go for a steal or a block or anything, if there's going to be any change in a certain style of animation or approach, like if you want to go for a more tactical sort of steal and that instead of just, you know, the random swipe.
Yeah.
So hopefully,
I mean, that's a possibility. But my guess, and we talked about a little bit about this on Facebook, I know, but I've got a feeling it's just basically the defensive crouch that just allows you to stay, and maybe it's got a bit of what do they call it, defensive assist, maybe. But I don't know whether it's going to be much more than that, but it will be interesting to see whether it actually is.
Yeah.
Anything else?
For sure. I just want to play. That's all I want to say. That's I just want to play, and I can't freaking wait. So it'd be good to see how this all pans out in gameplay aspect and whether the responses or control responsive is intuitive as we're hoping and that. So yeah.
Well, what I like is that the controls are very much like we've seen before, so they feel very familiar and intuitive, as I've always liked the controls. What impressions did you get, Pat?
It looks like they went back to basics and gave us some familiarity with the controls. It doesn't look like they tried to do anything groundbreaking. You know, you got your defensive stance back, sprint, double team, block, steal. All the essentials are there, and it's not doesn't look like overly convoluted and layered to the point where you got to memorize all these extra combos.
Yeah.
I'm interested in seeing what the modifier button is going to do, though.
Yeah, that one too. And you know, if you were to hold that with like maybe like the defensive stance or
flashy pass.
Yeah.
Or flash yeah, steal.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah,
it's the defensive button, but
yeah.
The modified defensive stance and the steal button, just to...
fancy sprint or fancy block.
Fancy sprint. I was like, what? Like Joey Crawford dancing up the court after he made that
ball. Like an elegant trot.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like he should have been racing in the Melbourne Cup that was just yesterday.
Well, you remember, guys, back in the day, the direct pass used to also be the walk button. If you wanted to walk slowly up court, you'd just hold down the direct pass.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, so much can be done with the modifier. But, yeah, I mean, at the moment, all we know that it does is the signature-style dribbles, holding down the modifier and moving the stick in one of four directions. Well, they said four. Previously, they said six. But certainly moving the stick with the modifier performs the signature dribbles.
Just thinking, if it was the modifier and the rebound, would that be like a Dennis Rodman style with the sort of leg kick out and the sort of grab it with one hand and then slap it with the other hand? So the rebound, he's...
Well, see, what you could do is, you know, we've talked before about the freestyle air, I think it was called back in the day, where you could control whether you wanted to go for the tip or the putback. I mean, that's a great place to put a modifier, whether you want to, you know, go for the putback or just grab it or try for just a tap-in, so... Maybe that would certainly be a good use of it.
Same thing for blocks. You know, you could go for a light contest or a swat using a modifier.
Absolutely. Do you want to try and swat it into the fourth row and give up the possession? Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, I just noticed the defensive slides on the right analog stick.
Just now?
Yeah, I only just noticed that.
I think they've tried to implement that before as well.
Okay, because I was just sort of thinking with the Elite, you know, that was, I remember the describing, you know, the left sticks was the legs and the right stick was the upper body in a sense. So I was just sort of thinking, is they still going with that kind of thing or is this something different? So yeah.
Well, the one key difference to Elite 11, which you brought up just then, Pat, was the there is definitely a turbo or sprint button in the game, which is definitely good for the open court. In the half court, don't miss it so much with the dribbling moves and everything. But there were many things about NBA Elite 11 that led to the game's cancellation. But certainly the absence of turbo was something that didn't look like it was going to pan out quite as well as hoped. So it's good to see that again. I'm just looking at the summary that I did and nitpicking my own grammar. Dribbling moves on the right stick, of course. Different dribbling moves for different players, and it noted that signature style, speed, and quickness come into effect, and that you can't just spam the stick, is what Scotty Gallagher said. So it won't be a case of, you know, spin, layup.
He said basically it's a rhythm based, and it's different for each player who has based on their dribbling skills and package, and you kind of have to learn their rhythm to get to get the man off balance and get some good combos in. You can't just tap with the stick and hope things are gonna turn out right.
So hopefully less cheese.
Yeah, I'm. It kind of. I know it sounds cool, but it just kind of reminds me of 2K's. You just gotta wait for the animation to finish and then time it right. That's just what it tells me. Rhythm based. You gotta kind of wait. But the fact that it's different for every player, I think that sounds, or every player in the package, I think that sounds pretty good.
It's very promising, and I mean, that's the kind of thing they should be doing with Bounce Tech, because I guess Bounce Tech, to a lot of people, does still sound like a gimmick or, you know, just another name for dribbling moves this year. But if it works out as good as advertised, and now and in the future, then yeah, that certainly does change the way that that we dribble the basketball in basketball games. Something that I really liked was that they also talked about how to defend against those moves and showed us some of the defensive strategies as well. And I've asked the question on Twitter. They haven't gotten back to us yet, and hopefully if they don't get back to us directly, they'll address it in future blogs or interviews and whatnot. It looks like we actually have some kind of coach profiles for each team, where there's a default strategy of, you know, the Bulls like to have the, you know, whether you go over the top of screens or whatever, like that kind of thing, you know, the level of pressure on the ball is all those strategic options are there for the user to set. But it also looks like there's a default setting that's suitable for each coach's approach to defense. So, yeah, once again, I guess individual play, team styles and strategy, all the better.
Now, I'm looking at the screenshots right now, and it says it shows the coach options of Eric Spoelstra, and it says versus Bulls. Are we going to have? Makes me wonder. Are we going to have coach options for specific teams to play against specific teams? Are we going to have a multiple instead of just one that you have to modify every game? You can actually set them for the team you're playing against, because that's what it looks like.
Yeah. That'll be because yeah, even look at Coach Subro. You know, it's versus Pacers on his one,
yeah,
and then. Doc Rivers is with Lakers, yeah. So
I mean, it could. I mean, that would be awesome. To get me wrong, I'm just wondering if that's just
in the game.
In the game, yeah. Just says, you know, this is, you know, in a game against the Lakers, it just says versus Lakers or whatever. But if there's actual individual strategies, not just for the teams, but for how they approach every other team as well.
Yeah, and there's
that's pretty deep. Yeah.
The last screenshot shows how you play each player too. It says versus Jordan Hill and versus Chris Paul.
Yeah. So. It could be.
But even if it doesn't, I mean, I do like the depth that we can see on the surface right there.
Oh, yeah.
Without even further clarification, that's good news. And something I felt 2K has done quite well with their coaching profiles, even though they were reset in a recent one of the first roster updates for the current gen game.
At least they fixed it quickly.
They did, yes. Something else that's of note, even though we can draw charges apparently with a right stick manually, there's also an auto charge option where we can basically instruct our players to always flop, I guess. But
is that a Shane Battier achievement unlock?
Oh, that would be awesome. We got the trophy, so we know it's not there, but you know,
yeah.
what great DLC that would be. But yeah, there's an auto charge option so that you can, rather than going for the block, you can apparently set it so the players will go for the charge. And there's a risk reward factor there. So they say that it's pretty balanced, that you won't always get the charge. You will get the blocking call or perhaps even the don't call. That'd be nice to see. Even nicer to see it in the real league, but that's another story. sounds like a good idea, fellas, with that. I mean, and of course, if you do want to draw the charge manually, you still can.
I like the option of versatility, and you know, because I mean, the CPU players, that's great that you can set them up to attempt it. So, because that's definitely going to help bring out the realisticness of players like Battier and all that stuff, where they'll go for that tendency of actually trying to take a charge. So, yeah.
Yeah, putting the bodies on the line, and
yeah, exactly.
Not so much going for the block, but always stepping in the way in the lane. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, good option there.
And just one final point also mentions that they've done a fair bit of work with the defensive AI. So I guess, Pat, what I'm just hoping we don't see the water bug movements from the CPU, where the CPU can magically never get shaken by crossovers or always spring back and seem to recover. That I'm just hoping we don't see that.
Yeah.
I hope we see a smart, you know, smart defense, not superhuman defense.
Yeah, I'd rather have some adaptive strategy coming to try to come back from what you're doing, rather than just having the ratings bumped up. You know, have some secret AI just hidden that's going to try to change their strategy based on what you're doing and surprise you. That's what I want to see, some adaptive strategy to make the game more difficult.
Rather than
immersive. Yeah.
Rather than Dexter Pittman being able to stay in front of LeBron James.
Yes.
Yeah. So we got a good look at controls and everything there, and they continue to feed us information on that. Hopefully we get some information on game modes before the game comes out. But, I mean, on the whole, I'm liking what I hear about controls. They, as we said, familiar, not too complicated, but at the same time not too simple that we can't perform moves that you'd expect to see. Game looks pretty good in motion. I mean, we can nitpick animations here and there, and that's what we do as a gaming community. But the dribbling animations, you know, tend to look pretty good, I feel.
Yeah. Much smoother than in previous generations, that's for sure.
And probably of all the animations we've seen, probably the best we've seen. As far as information on the game, VSN Arcade Radio did an interview with Scott O'Gallagher last week. Not a whole lot of new information, but they touched again on the dribbling controls, the dynamic crowd responses. So it sounds like that's in the game, and I think we all enjoy that in NBA Live 10.
Oh yeah,
the atmosphere settings. Post moves they touched on, so it's good to know that it's not just the dribbling moves, and the bigs will be uh, will have their day on the court, shall we say?
Well, that's really good, because like I've stated it in previous podcasts where I felt Live 09 had a stronger post game than Live 10.
With her in the paint, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm really happy to hear that they've really amped that well, really worked on that part of the game, because yeah, Live 10, it was, for me, it was a letdown compared to Live 09. You know, I thought that
it felt limited, yeah.
Yeah, and
they said a few things. You can pull the chair,
yeah,
off the up and unders and step backs, and you know, they said they think we'll be pleasantly surprised with the post game,
which would be great.
And speaking of pleasant surprises, also they made a few hints at the ESPN presentation, and of course more details on Ultimate Team will be coming soon. They're not saying it, but I can't imagine that the ESPN commentators are anyone else but Mike Breen and Jeff Van Gundy. I mean, they are the A-team. Not the A-team. The A-squad, I guess. Yeah, we love it when commentary comes together. But I mean, they are the A-squad for the NBA on ESPN and the NBA on ABC, so I can't imagine it would be anyone but them. But do you think maybe they'd get some sideline reporters and that we're going to get some extra halftime shows, things like that?
I hope so. I really do. Just, you know, just that sort of extra in-depth element to it would be great, instead of it just sort of being the same old that we had for so long. I mean, they got to ante up the presentation side of it. So yeah, and why not? You
take, they've got the license.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's no excuse not to.
Yeah, you know,
go full bore and replicate the broadcast.
Yeah.
Go for a second team. You know,
yeah,
for the second ESPN team and have two sets of commentary.
Yeah, you know, especially
randomize them.
Yeah, I mean,
that'd be pretty cool.
I mean, well, you got to remember, like what with the NCAA 10 did. You know, they had the CBS and the ESPN. So why not have the two teams?
Well, apparently you got, 50 gigs?
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. So it can be done. And it should be done.
They did it on current gen, yeah.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. I was just thinking in regards to what else we're going to add to it. I can't remember now. My bad.
But no, it remains to be seen. But at the very least, I think we're going to have Jeff Van Gundy and Mike Breen, which will be nice. I mean, they can finally record lines for a game that's coming out, I guess.
Yep. sorry, I did just remember what I was going to say. Okay, if they were to have the two-team approach, obviously you're going to have your big sort of matchups and stuff like that. But, you know, for the games where it's not so crowd, or you know, like not the big money games, but you know, smaller market
Raptors,
teams.
Raptors, Wizards, yeah, you can say it.
Yeah, okay. you know, why not have the B team and all that stuff do the presentation for that side, for those?
Yeah, no, that'd be cool, and you could even, to an extent, base that on real life as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you can tell generally with the commentary or with the calendar season in particular at the moment that, you know, which channel gets what game, and then. Obviously, you sort of know ahead in advance what team is, or which is the commentating teams are going to do what game.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can alter it that way, and obviously, in a season based mode and stuff like that, obviously you sort of want to reflect on how the teams go during those seasons, and if the team that was a great team is not doing so well in the following season, then they can obviously get demoted down to the B team, or if they're a crap team that got them, they actually started playing well, a la the Philly 76ers at the moment, then you might want to get the A team onto onto it. So yeah, that'd be a good little element into it.
And of course, like 2K, get Bill Simmons. Whoa!
Yeah.
into the draft. But something that just occurred to me, Pat, you remember the rivalries from, I think, NBA Live 07 made a big deal of it?
Yeah.
Rivalry games?
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be a great opportunity if they brought that back with dynamic crowds and atmosphere and everything, that to have that setting. So in a rivalry game, you've got the crowd pumped up right from the opening tip.
Right on. That sounds about... I mean, anything that could increase the immersion and make it more lifelike, as long as, I mean... They obviously can't go past what the NBA doesn't want in the game, like Vince Carter getting booed at Toronto,
yeah.
Or in this newest, most recent case, Dwight Howard getting booed in LA. Yeah. So obviously, they can't do so many things, but
even the Clippers games.
Or even have it.
Yeah, that was what it was. The Clippers game where they got stomped, but or even, yeah, anything to increase
a
the immersion.
A tattoo on the what was it Birdman's hands. He has like the word "hate" or something on one of his hands tattooed, and the NBA apparently doesn't allow that one to be on. That's what I've heard.
Well, I think the first thing they really need to do before they can do that is, you know, make sure the crowd is actually watching the game instead of just staring forward.
Yes.
Yeah.
The blank eye.
They don't have to be locked onto the ball. Give them a little randomness, but most are looking at the ball and the player with the ball, and have a couple of people look over. You know,
even have the crowd, like you know, if it's like a group of mates, you know, they might have a few words to each other. So you know, that way it adds
high five.
Yeah.
Each other.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm thinking back to like watching some of the Jordan highlight videos and stuff, like Jordan's playground and all that stuff back in the day. And you know, when you see some of the classic footage of him going for the dunk, and then it shows the camera reaction, and they're like, yeah, they're standing up, high-tending each other, or you know, the sort of head
look at each other. Did you see that?
Yeah, hands over the head, like oh my god, kind of thing. Something like that will definitely add into the whole immersion aspect of it. So, first of the development teams to do that is gets a tick in my book.
A gold star.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But add some dance cam and some kiss cam on the Jumbotron during halftime shows and timeouts or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, we'll put it this way, fellas. We live in the age of fish AI. There's no excuse. No excuse for there not to be the crowd AI as well.
I'm also sort of thinking like with the mascots, you know, they can do some practical joke stuff, the cream pie into the face, or going down the stairwells on like a food tray or a little boogie board sort of thing, and then crash stacking it, or the halftime entertainment with the guys on the little mini trampolines dunking it, and even a guy screwing it up where he actually goes through the ring himself. Like on the NAB ad.
Well, what they need is a mascot mini game, obviously.
Yes. Yeah. Tied in with NBA Jam with those sort of crazy physics with the jumping and all that.
Well, people want to see fights in the game, and sometimes the mascots get into playful scuffles. Yeah. So you know that's where you get the.
Oh, I was just thinking the Oregon Ducks and what was the other team? Oh, I can't remember what it was, but their mascot fight during one of the college football games.
Yeah.
I like that mascot. It's made of air or something, like a big balloon, and he's like a shark or a bear or something, and he comes up and he eats a cheerleader. Have you seen that? It was a couple years ago.
Was it the Raptors?
Popular. I think there was a plenty of them. I think the Raptors were definitely one. That was pretty funny.
You could even have like the Atlanta Hawks mascot with a mini game with him and see what kind of practical things that he can do. It's like the YouTube videos of the mascot riding around Atlanta on a motorbike.
Well, you know, Rocky, the Nuggets mascot, he's got his over the head half court shot.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. You know. And Buck, he's got the ladder dunks, where he jumps off the ladders and stuff like that and throws it down.
And of course, GTA 5 has the pre-order DLC where you can fly the atomic blimp. So naturally, there's got to be DLC for NBA Live where you can fly the inflatable Benny the Bull around the United Center.
Yeah,
as well.
The welcome that's, back, Mike.
Yeah. You know, that's definitely what they need to be focusing on. But no, I mean, there's lots of like cool stuff they can do from a presentation aspect. And I guess as the years go by with their live worlds, that's what they'll be looking to do.
Oh, living worlds.
Living worlds, yeah. Live content, living worlds, Court Cube. Yep. It's live. The name's in there somewhere. But the other thing that they announced just today, or yesterday rather, from when we were recording this, November 5th, they announced the full soundtrack. And Ben, unfortunately, no J. Cole.
So they let Arcane down.
They let Arcane down. But this is the NBA Live mixtape, and it was put together by Mick, formerly known as Mick Boogie, former DJ for the Cavaliers, and he's still obviously in the music business. Put together, in contrast to 2K's soundtrack, which perhaps has a bit more mainstream music or well-known tracks, Phil Collins. Let's throw that out there, since we've made such a big deal about that in the previous podcast. They're going with a few different genres, EDM, apparently electronic dance music. I did have to look that up. And hip-hop, as always, dancehall, indie rock, that kind of thing. And
they have dubstep.
And dubstep, P-dubstep, yeah. Yes.
More wub-wub.
Also, Mick, the creator of the soundtrack, has 30 custom mixtape bumpers, which are like small tracks in between each song to mix it together.
Yeah, a bit more of a better transition.
Yeah, so yeah, instead of it just sort of having like a 2-second fade out between each song, there's like, yeah, a bit of a mix up in between it, like a DJ, proper DJ mix and stuff. So that's pretty cool. The other thing that they announced too, that additional music content will be added throughout the year.
Yeah.
So there's hope.
Also selected by Mick. Yeah.
Yep. So there's hope yet for J. Cole. So if not, I'm going to spam Mick Boogie's or Mick's Twitter account and see if I can get him to add it on.
More bare naked ladies tracks, please. Lol.
Yeah.
Love at Andrew NLSC. Yeah. we've given a few thoughts on the soundtrack that's been revealed over the last few weeks, Pat. But with the ones that have been revealed so far, and then the ones that were revealed today, any thoughts on it? Anything that stands out to you? Your sound, or not so much?
Well, I sampled a couple of tracks before the podcast, and they sounded a bit better than the ones that they were releasing every Tuesday. You know?
Yeah.
So
would have thought you'd lead on your best foot. But...
I guess they wanted to surprise us, but you know, they got some named artists on there that some people might not notice, but they're pretty familiar. You got Ace Hood,
Anthony
Big
Hamilton.
Sean on there. Yeah, Ace Hood featuring Anthony Hamilton.
And Anthony Hamilton's been on a couple of live tracks in the past.
I think Kid Ink has as well, hasn't he?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, the name rings the bell. I can't believe they got Riff Raff. I didn't realize he was on it, on that Diplo song with Mike Posner. I just realized I freaking hate Riff Raff. It's like a freaking bogan redneck wannabe artist.
He's just listening to the podcast and oh.
Yeah. I don't care if he comes after me. I freaking smash him.
Pusha T is pretty well known. Schoolboy Q.
2 Chainz.
Travis
T.I.
Scott. What? Really? Where?
Travis Scott.
T.I.?
Yeah.
I don't see him. Oh, the feature in the name, the track name. Sorry.
Yeah.
Too Short, Loopy Fiasco. Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty good soundtrack. They got a new artist called Lord on there. She's got that Royal song. I don't know if you guys heard it on the radio. She's from New Zealand, like only 16 years old.
Oh yeah. I know of her. Yep. They started talking about her in some news shows here. I don't see that Freeway song that they mentioned.
I don't either. Dom Kennedy, right?
Yeah.
I don't see it on there either.
Maybe that got a bad response.
But... I never even found that tweet. Like, all I saw was the quote. I couldn't find the tweet.
Yeah. I saw the tweet, but I didn't. I couldn't find it on YouTube or anything. So
maybe
a downloadable content.
unless it's Run the Jewels DDFH, or is that one of the first songs that they announced?
No, that was the first one.
Okay.
I think,
all right.
Or no, when I was on the boards, but yeah, it was mentioned before.
Okay. Oh. Maybe that's one of the extra DLC songs that they're talking about, and they just accidentally
revealed it.
Yeah,
but major laser. Yeah, so
could have just fell through.
Yeah,
Flostradamus. That's a fantastic name. I'll give it up.
It's a dental hygienist version of Nostradamus.
I'm just thinking about that dental rap on The Simpsons. And
just yes.
Yeah. But and the other thing they mentioned is that you can customize the soundtrack, or rather pick which songs you want to play in different game modes. So if you want a different vibe, I guess, for Dynamics Live Season, rather, as opposed to Dynasty Mode or Ultimate Team, you can actually not just customize it in general, but customize it by mode as well, which is, I guess, kind of interesting as well, especially as they're going to be adding more songs through the year. I don't know if I'd bother myself because the soundtrack kind of fades into the background for me anyway. I either like it or disable some songs that I really hate. Bucky Dunn by MIA.
Yeah.
sorry to anyone who loves that song, but no.
Sorry, I just looked at just saw one of the names featuring in it, featuring totally enormous extinct dinosaurs. What the hell?
Yeah.
That's a stupid ass name. It's as bad as Riff Raff.
So we can actually customize that. So that's a kind of a cool feature to do. But as did we touch on it last week, or did we forget to touch on it? The the controversy with PlayStation 4 not supporting
MP3. Yeah, we touched on that last week.
So, yeah, I mean, this would obviously be the perfect opportunity for people to replace it and put their own custom songs in different game modes. But
well, they can still do that with Music Unlimited, though. That's the service that they want you to use.
I guess, but yeah, that's...
yeah.
I'm sorry, I have enough music devices already.
Yeah,
that's true.
I've had to buy an iPod every couple of years because the battery's gone on them or whatever. So I'm already a slave to the Apple Corporation. I'm not going to be a slave to Sony as well. So that's the soundtrack. They revealed it on November 5th as the US time, as they said they would. So, yeah, and I do need to listen to a few more of those songs, but I'll be doing that on YouTube, and everyone else can, of course, do that. And let us know what you think about that. And, yeah, I guess that's about all I have to say on the soundtrack. You guys have got any other further final thoughts?
Well, I got to listen to some of all these tracks that I've listened. But, yeah, I was surprised that they didn't put the Freeway on there, considering how much they hyped that one up.
Yeah. I didn't notice that, but
if you don't like it, mute it.
Yeah.
Well, they were hyping that one up, you know, saying that was their favorite one to listen to in the office. So, and the fact that it's not listed there was the surprise. we got this fantastic track that you love, but we don't know if we're giving it to you.
You can't hear it.
yeah. We're just teasing folks. Totally enormous extinct dinosaurs. Is that a tribute to freaking Chris Bosch?
It's his rapper name, yeah. I guess that wraps it up for NBA Live 14, but we do have some NBA 2K14 news as well this week, just running down the list. First of all, we had some My Team details, and 2K have been releasing a few snippets every day on the Facebook page. I think they might have missed a couple of days here and there over the weekend. Everyone deserves a break, so we're not going to hate on them for that. But just a few snippets.
Back to work, Lefos.
Well, Lefos. No, we hold him to a different standard. Yeah. That's fair. but they've been releasing screenshots and a few snippets on on various features in the game. My Team was the focus last week, and this week it's My GM. But with My Team, of course, it's with the virtual trading cards, much like Ultimate Team in NBA Live 14, the cards are being redesigned with what they're calling a slick new look, and they look okay. they're virtual trading cards.
I see a Jordan one.
That's true. We can also get all the classic jerseys. They can collect those for our My Team, which is nice. So all the classic teams, classic jerseys that are in the game can be collected. And there's also a mode called Domination, in which you can pit your My Team against every NBA team, as well as three All-Star squads, and that's offline. And you can reach different star levels in Domination. For each one you attain, you'll get a player or a team item pack. And there's a few screenshots of some of the things you can get. We've talked about Ultimate Team a couple of times on the podcast before, Pat, but are you a fan of the concept? Do you think you'll be playing My Team in 2K?
I haven't, and I don't think I will.
Nope, no. Can't be enticed.
It's something I think I did when I was back with NBA Live 96, 97. You know, when I was that age, like 18, I'd build monster teams and just dominate. But I'd rather just play franchise mode and build up my team that way.
Sure.
Or owner mode or my GM mode, I guess, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah. I mean, I think last week John was saying he's looking more forward to Ultimate Team than in Live than my team in 2K. And you echoed those thoughts, I believe, as well, Ben.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we know what 2K servers have been like in the past. So, I mean, that's kind of one reason. But I know, just because with Live, it's been out of the game for so long. You know, I just want to see what they've done over this time and that, and how fleshed out these modes are. So I think that's...
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, I'll probably only play it once or twice, just to sort of see.
Oh, I mean, for the sake of review, I'll have to check it out because I'll be doing a write-up on it. But
I'll definitely be more offline-based stuff. So,
well, in that respect, it's good to hear that they actually do have this domination.
Yeah,
which sounds like it's an offline mode.
Yeah.
So you're not playing against adolescents screaming obscenities and homophobic slurs into the microphone.
Get enough of that on The Last of Us multiplayer.
I was like, get enough of that at home.
Yeah, but it just. And that's just from my mom.
Yeah. You know, have family dinner with, to be insulted like that, thank you very much. But
I thought I'd put you in a crooked home.
Yeah. childhood was difficult. But yeah, so that's basically what we've learned about my team in so far, and got a few glimpses of it. Cards look nice. It's their version of Ultimate Team. We've seen it before, but so for people who are really into it, sounds good. I'll check it out as I'm sure all of us will give it at least a quick look. But yeah, we'll see how that pans out. The perhaps more exciting for us, though, being given the modes that we played before, is the is My GM, which, as we mentioned last week or the week before, I think we might have touched on at least the last couple of weeks, but in any event, that is the replacement for Association mode, and it's look at all the in-depth stuff where you have to actual discussions with players to negotiate new contracts, and everything you do has a ripple effect, is the information they put out and what they're stressing at the moment. So if you... promise a player a lot of playing time or whatever, and then don't deliver, then that's going to cause problems trying to re-sign him and everything. And as I said before, I really like that idea because it's the stuff that John and Lefthurst were talking about for the project they were going to do. So it's kind of cool that it's, or very cool rather, that it's going to be in the game as an actual feature. But it's funny. the way, as I put it in the forum when I was posting about it today, it's great that we have the depth, but then I sometimes wonder if it's too much depth. Like, I don't know about you guys, but yeah, like that stuff. I've never been big on owner mode. Like, I like it from the basketball perspective, but I kind of don't want to worry about concession stand prices and tickets and everything. So hopefully we can either automate that, or the default values will just be okay if you don't want to do too much with that. But yeah, I don't know. It's and then of course there's the... Sometimes you just want to do a really crazy thing, like Pat, you said, you know, building super teams, for example. But if the players have all got their own egos and their own attitude, I mean, it's great that and very cool on one hand that you've got that challenge of having to deal with that. But then for people who just want to say, okay, I just want to make the craziest team possible, you know, put Kevin Garnett at point guard, his natural position, as that classic thread in the old forum went, you know, I want to do that. You know, can we still do that? That's my question, I guess. And, you know, are we with this much depth, are we kind of losing that flexibility of how to play these modes?
Well, back when I was playing MVP Baseball 2005, they had a game mode called Owner Mode. And this reminds me a lot of it, because you'd start out with a basic stadium that looked like, say, a minor league stadium. You'd set your ticket prices, your concession stands, and... All the balancing tries to you try to make money so you can expand your stadium and make more money, because you get more fans in there buying more tickets, you know, they're gonna give you more money and you can pay for better players on your salaries. I thought it was pretty damn fun. I liked it over franchise mode, even though they had both. NBA 2K's version looked like it's much deeper. After these screenshots, it looks... I think I'd probably enjoy it. All these expectations and what players and GMs, what is their GM, players, probably coach conversations. That sounds kind of I don't know, The Sims kind of thing.
Yeah.
You basically, it's basically the
personnel management. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like the, it's like, here, let's own a team and do the marketing, try to get our fans to pay money. I think this is the ultimate, Donald Sterling game mode.
What, you think you could also run a dodgy...
franchise and make money?
Oh, I was going to say a dodgy landlord. Dodgy accommodations on the side to make some money.
That too. Side businesses.
Yeah.
I think it looks pretty fun.
Yeah.
The only issue I have is, or a question, is have they fixed the problems that were in association mode, or did they build this from the ground up?
Yeah, I mean, so we're still getting...
There's still issues... in association mode, you know, so just want to make sure they didn't just add this on.
Are we still going to see, you know, too many stars trading teams or trading places, or, you know, weird, really weird signings, things like that, or
stacked in one position, Deron Williams, Chris Paul, and Stephen Curry on the same team,
Kyrie Irving backing them all up, and that's the thing. I mean, it sounds like it's a brand new mode, but I mean, how much can you build up from the ground up in just 1 year? So, and considering how association in current gen has still got some glaring issues, you said, and even this year, noticing some issues returning, that definitely is a concern. But definitely some cool stuff as well. But Ben, I mean, you've played association and dynasty in the past. Still looking forward to it after seeing what we've seen today, or seen this week.
Yeah, I I was just sort of thinking back when we started talking about sort of thing last week, and that there was some stuff that I had written down and sent to EA and that in regards to sort of like a GM sort of element to it, and you know, there's some goals and achievements if by doing some certain things and that, and yeah, a lot of this kind of stuff is in lines to what I was actually had put down for ideas and that. So, and the rewards and that if you get to achieve it. I'll go through some of the stuff here that I had written down. Here we go. Goal setting. A general manager coach can set out goals for the season, which can be team orientated and player orientated, with rewards for achieving goals. Set a limit of like 15 or 20 goals for that season. These goals.
Well, apparently NBA Live 14 is going to have that,
yep,
with Dynasty objectives. So, and I'm guessing looking at some of these screenshots that says what do you want to do for this this season in 2K, they're going to have it as well.
Yep.
So,
well, this I'd sent. Let's see, when did I wrote this article on the 24th of the 3rd, when I last worked on it was on the 24th of the 3rd, 2012. So that long ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, it went from things like 50-win seasons, 55 wins, 60, 65-plus wins, 70-plus and that, I suppose. You can go on 5 or 10-game win streaks, multiple 10-plus game win streaks in a season, double-digit wins, players to average 15-plus points per game and things like that. That's along the sort of individual player attributes. Coach be selected for All-Star game selection as the coach for East or West, or even the rookie versus sophomore stuff, I guess. Players to obtain selection for Rising Stars and also All-Star game and other game modes within that. Team to make 6th or 7th seed, teams to make 3rd or 5th, teams to make top seeds and stuff. Teams and goals, obviously, to set second round conference finals, depending what the actual goal is.
Lots of variable goals.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you can choose, you know, create a dynasty winning 4 more championships within a selected amount of years. Team to win potentially playoff matches, playoff matchups during regular season, sweep series, sweep playoffs, sweep finals, best offensive team record, best defensive team records, team shooting percentages, obviously individual accolades from season MVP, season rookie of the year, finals MVP, and all the other individual awards from that, and team all NBA team awards, and
what
all
are these?
Teams. This was ideas and stuff that I was coming up for, like the sort of goals to achieve for a GM and players and stuff like that. But then I sort of broke it down to other things as well. Our rewards for achieving these goals can be as follows. For player with All-Star stat jersey team, gear sales goes up. So in a sense of the marketing and merchandising sort of thing, with win streaks or All-Star
right.
player, more media attention and game coverage. So there's the media spotlight. And, you know, you'll have like ESPN maybe wanting to send their A-team or the sort of fake TNT coverage and all that stuff with 2K. Win streaks, ticket sales, and crowd attendance goes up. You could start attracting big-name players during free agency, team making playoff or finals, more sponsorship deals, like some teams have individual sponsorships with different car or brand companies,
yeah.
stuff like that. Team chemistry could become stronger with team success. Coaches and GMs get new contracts. Team can get new facilities or assistance.
That's the other thing,
yeah.
is that with my GM, you can get fired.
Yeah.
So, and the one thing they've mentioned here is that depending on whether you choose to say, okay, when talking to the owner, yes, we can go big, you know, we can compete this year. There's a risk reward to that,
yeah.
in that you can, if you fall short of it, it'll really hurt your standing with them.
Yeah.
But if you can either set the smaller goal of saying, okay, we're going to have this, like you said, 5 or 10 wins, and depending on whether you reach that or totally blow a big promise, you know, hurt your standing and whether you can get fired or not.
Exactly. And, you know, then I also put down failures to achieve these goals and, you know, lose the fan base and crowds, lower media coverage, obviously jersey sales and sponsorship deals will go down. Players could be known as failures or washed up. Team chemistry could boil over. Coach could be fired. Players traded away and teams rebuild, you know, blow up the teams a la the Celtics at the moment. and what they did this season. Players are only positive is a chance of getting higher draft picks in the draft. So, I mean, that's kind of a positive within the negative. Players could want to leave the team, and team could become broke and need to be sold or removed. So,
yeah,
so that was some stuff that, you know, came to mind a few years ago. But I'm pretty sure I may have written some other stuff, and some of that, in a sense, was in regarding to setting ticket prices, bundle deals for, you know, like package deals and stuff for tickets for like maybe 10 people and more. So yeah, I was far interested in that kind of stuff. Sorry if that was a bit of a monologue.
No worries.
I went into leftos mode. Achievement unlocked.
I mean, it sounds like the Dynasty objectives are going to be like that, and it does, you know. It sounds like the Dynasty objectives are going to be like that, and my GM, yeah, I mean, it sounds like that's going to be exactly the stuff you were talking about.
So, if that kind of stuff's in, then freaking all good in my books.
As long as you have an option, if you just want to play association mode and let the computer control everything else.
Well, that's my concern, is that they're basically saying if you're not really into this, there's still a season mode, which I'm guessing is just a stripped down, you know, play 82. You know,
yeah. As long as they make 20. It a multi-season mode, fine.
Yeah.
You know, set the number of seasons you want to play. That'd be great.
It's that mid-ground, I think, of wanting to do the draft and scouting and all that kind of thing, but not necessarily wanting to do the conversations and that kind of thing. So it's, I'm a fan of having options of how in-depth you want to be and an alternative, even if they'd put this, in addition to association mode or,
Well, they need to let us create a stadium. That's what they need to do. Create an arena.
Create a fan.
Create an arena.
I put that in my Friday Five a few weeks back, that the features that basketball games don't need. And create a fan. People ask for it. And if you want that, I'm not denying people their opinions or anything, but why? It's just, I can't think of a more useless thing. I mean, that's something you put in the game when everything else is right.
I'd rather have the authentic fans, like the Jerry, what is it, Goldstein or Goldberg?
Oh, yeah, the
Laker guy.
The
guy in the cowboy hat, and then Clipper Darryl, Spike Lee. You know, I'd rather have the icons rather than create a fan.
And not
create a fan, how many blades?
And not create a power, celebrity bandwagon. And not create a celebrity bandwagon fan. Bebop.
You remember the podcast where I said the first thing I was going to do was dunk on Justin Bieber in the celebrity game? He fucking went for 30 points and was the fucking MVP of the game.
Cha-ching. But, yeah.
It's Bieber, and you lose to that, then there's nothing you can do except for sweat.
Change the sliders.
Yeah.
Remove from game.
Yeah.
Edit ratings.
That roster answer.
Hack the code.
Hack the planet.
Hack the planet.
Yeah. So some really cool stuff coming in the pipeline for my GM, and apparently some more details coming this week, either a developer insight or just more snippets on the via the Facebook page. We'll, of course, keep everyone posted, talk about it next week, whatever comes through. But yeah, I guess safe to say, guys, we're all looking forward to it.
Yeah.
You know, set those hot dog prices.
Set them now.
Yeah.
Hot dog mode. But I guess that pretty much wraps it up for the news this week.
Hot dog man.
There was apparently the PlayStation 4 is getting some
exclusive
content for NBA 2K14. No other details as yet, I believe.
Today or yesterday, Sony released 4 new commercials for the PlayStation 4, and in one of the set videos that they had regards to their games, it was informative whether it had additional content or was an exclusive for the title or for the console. And I know, and they showed a preview of NBA 2K14, and it had exclusive content for the PS4. So it'd be interesting to see what kind of content we'll get for that. We'll probably know more in the coming few days about it. But so if not, left us, drop the clue, drop the hint, tell us now.
Running 2K mode.
Yeah. So hopefully we know in the next week.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all going PlayStation 4 here. You're getting PS4, aren't you, Pat?
Yeah, I've already pre-ordered it.
There you go. So whatever the exclusive is, I guess we get to enjoy it. we just don't get to do custom soundtracks. That's all, unless we pay for that. So yeah, that'll be interesting. But I think that's about it for the 2K14 news this week. We're just waiting for more news to drop, probably after we finish recording, as always. But I guess we'll see. But there is one out of the 2K matter that we could probably discuss now. We did get a question in the mailbag this week. Just the one question. I was a bit late getting the reminder out, unfortunately, again this week. But let me just bring that up here to make sure I've got the username ZZ, or I should probably say ZZ Cool J 21. I'm Australian, so unfortunately I default to saying Z. But ZZ Cool J 21 asks, do you think that NBA 2K14 will have any chance at all for Game of the Year? What do you reckon, Pat?
You're talking about Sports Game of the Year?
Well, he just says Game of the Year. I think that any publication that focuses on sports could do it. But yeah, either way, I guess.
Possibly for the next gen, maybe? But I don't know about current gen.
Current gen, no. Yeah. I mean, that's got to be GTA 5 or Last of Us or something like that. Yeah.
I mean, even Bioshock Infinite's up there and a couple
of. We're talking about actual games of the year, I don't think so. No. Not at all.
No.
Sports game of the year, maybe. I haven't heard a lot of buzz about how awesome Madden or FIFA is or anything else. So I'm not sure. It might just win by default.
Stumble over the line and
finally got LeBron on a cover. I don't know.
I've heard some good things about professional lacrosse 2014. But,
yeah. Oh, do you have a link for that? I need to grab that. It's not available in the US.
Or indeed anywhere in this planet. But, I tend to agree. I think 2K's got a couple of Sports Game of the Year awards, and I think a couple of publications called 2K11 Game of the Year, didn't they? Of all games, because of Michael Jordan and what they've done with the Jordan Challenges and everything. But current gen, I don't think, is going to get any Game of the Year, not against what it's up against. But basketball games really don't tend to get those honors. Even among sports game of the year, it's usually a soccer or football or gridiron football. Either one of those two is usually one of those that gets the nod.
And it's such an incredible year of gaming as well. I mean, the titles that came out this year, it's been one of the better years in gaming history.
Pac-Man 2013.
So, yeah, it's an incredibly tough year for them to compete. I mean, yeah, we listed some of the titles. So yeah, I don't think it will. I mean, the next gen version could get in the top 10 maybe, but
stiff competition and genre. It's not really.
And
it's been a tough year as a gamer. I mean, how do you find time to play all these damn games?
it's.
Well, who really needs a life? I mean.
Hey, nobody got time.
We live through our consoles.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we do.
Well, that's what sadly, Microsoft were banking on, but yeah. Didn't work out so well.
Nope. But, it's a tough year. I mean, maybe the year before, because there was some good games in 2012, but...
I can see getting a lot of credit within the, especially the next gen version, within the sports gaming media and within communities like ours and Operation Sports. Sure, you know, those kind of sites and publications might say Game of the Year or qualify that with Sports Game of the Year, but it's I don't think basketball gaming gets that much respect or interest as much as you just can't compete with a game like Last of Us or GTA 5. I mean, interesting question to ponder, but I guess that's a no from all of us. So that's the mailbag this week. We just had the one, as I said, so I thought I'd chuck that in there at the end of the 2K14 discussion, since it was pertained to that. But by all means, send in more topic suggestions, questions, anything you want to talk about, or want us to talk about, rather. And if you want us to embarrass ourselves with predictions, we're more than willing to do that. We do that on a regular basis here on the NLSC podcast, so hit us up. And so I guess we can move along to the real NBA. Talk about that a little this week, gentlemen.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks into the season, we've caught a few games. I want to start with Pat, actually, because, again, you haven't been on the podcast for a while, and you know, you've got a team that's aiming high this year, which is and you're a Clippers fan, so that's perhaps a rarity for for you and your Clippers fan ilk. And
I've been one since they sucked, so it's twisted. I was there when Gary Grant was the point guard. All right.
Hey, he's in the 20 assist club, but yeah, and of course, I guess the first thing we covered it before, but we need to ask you, being the Clippers fan, resident Clippers fan on the podcast, covering up the Lakers banners. How do you feel about that?
I have no issue with it, actually. I think it's more of a distraction between the two Los Angeles teams, and the fact that the Lakers have a very established history of winning versus the Clippers being known as Staples Center tenants, as they basically just pay rent. But apparently, that's actually a plus, because they don't have to pay for any renovations or anything like that. So yeah, cover up those banners if you want. You know, there's still some jerseys hanging above that you can't really cover up. But I think it's fine. Just what are you gonna do when they trade one of those players?
Yeah.
Or just darken them or something. I don't know.
What did they do when when it was Clippers versus Lakers? You know, when the Clippers are the technical home team, you know.
I'm pretty sure they cover them up, because the Lakers are considered the away team.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting when it happens.
I think they need to switch locker rooms as well when that happens.
They both have their own locker.
Yeah. Oh, they do. I'm just saying that one they can also swap. Just to...
Well, I know, for instance, I'll use a rugby league example. Occasionally, some teams will pay like $1 million to play at Suncorp Stadium here in Brisbane, because it's like one of the best facilities in the world. Like the Canterbury Bulldogs have done it a couple of times, and a couple of other teams as well. They've had their home game, even though it's not even in their freaking state or city.
About 12, 14 hours away, in fact.
Yeah. But
more money for your city.
Yeah, exactly. And like, even when they've played against the real home team, you know, they've had to actually switch locker rooms and that, change rooms, to because the home team is officially the away team in this case. So yeah, there's been instances of that happened. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see if that does happen between the Lakers and the Clippers.
And the Clippers are 3-1, so off to a pretty good start, Pat.
Yes.
They said Lob City was dead. I see 3 lobs in 37 seconds. It's the same guy from the same guy.
Well, it's 30, 32 seconds. 32 seconds.
Something like that. But, you know, Doc Rivers trying to slow things down, and these are kids trying to run. You know, you look at the preseason, they didn't do too well, and then they got slammed by the Lakers. And it's like, you know what? We've got to play up-tempo. We can't play this slow game. We don't have a bunch of 35-year-old veterans. Maybe they have 2, I think. But look what they did to the Rockets. They gave up like 116 or 118, and they scored almost 140. That's where they got to be at right there. They got to run. Yeah. Got to keep running. Take that strategy, add it to their ability to run, and you're gonna make a good run this year.
Do you think they should? Obviously, I mean, they got a lot of young guys, but if they're gonna keep running the entire season, do you think early in the part of the season they should maybe cap CP3, Blake, and DeAndre's time, like even if it's just a couple of minutes for the first few months?
They already have.
Okay.
They already have. If you look at the Rockets game they just played, I don't think anybody played more than 33 minutes.
Okay, so that's good.
Guys aren't playing 40 minutes. They had 7 guys in double figures, and 6 guys played 29 or more minutes, obviously with your Jamal Crawford, your 6th man. Yeah. And then everybody else had close to like 15 to 20. Except for your 12th man guys, so that's a pretty deep rotation right there.
Yeah, for sure.
Keeps guys healthy.
Yeah, definitely, and especially considering how long the season is too.
And the fact that
a marathon and a sprint, as they often say.
Yeah, and during the postseason, who seems to break down? Blake Griffin.
Yeah,
he's been having last couple of years. He had some slight injuries. So.
Well, what you bring up the postseason. Obviously, with the history, I'm guessing when it comes to the Clippers' chances, you may be a little bit pessimistic from the years of of struggling. But do you see them being, they're finally at a point in their, for the first time ever, you know, a legitimate team that is in the playoffs a few years in a row, you know, two and counting, and most likely, and again this year. do you see them being a, you know, dare I say, a contender, or at least to come out of the West, or at least, you know, make a good showing in the conference finals?
I'd say they got to get to the conference finals first.
Not counting the chickens before the hatch, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
they got to, you know, that if you look 2 years ago when they beat Memphis, that was a fantastic run. They had a fantastic series of fourth quarters, went seven games, came back in the fourth quarter, one or two of them, and then they got just swamped and swept by the Spurs. And, you know, that's the kind of thing you look at, you say that was second round, but that was kind of a lucky first round where things could happen. Then you go back to last year and they don't make it past six games. There's definitely some experience getting learned by the young guys, but they need to pack it up and listen to coach now because he's a champion, and that's going to get you farther in the playoffs.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, I feel that it may be getting ahead of ourselves, but the West just seems so wide open this year that
I don't believe that.
You never know. Yeah,
I don't believe that. You got the Thunder, the new Rockets. You know, they were already good last year. And
but I mean, would you pick one team like in the East? You could say, well, it's the Heat. You know,
pretty much.
Everyone, you know.
The Heat, maybe the Nets.
Oh, and Pacers.
Pacers, yeah, they're still hot.
But in the West, you know, you could say, well, you've got the Thunder, you've got the Rockets, you've still got the Spurs, can't be counted out. You know.
Yeah, and the Clippers. There's your
and the Clippers and the Warriors, even. So it's
yeah,
it's kind of
coming
more.
Up again.
So, but that's what I mean by saying it's wide open. That there's a few teams that conceivably you could have lots of different combinations in the Western Finals and any of them coming out of the West. Whereas in the East, it still feels like if you had to put money on one today, you know, the Heat, there is a safer bet there.
Yeah. I think
it just feels.
I think all bets are kind of unsafe because you look at all the teams that have in the past couple of years that could have made it farther, and you see injuries on their team. Last year was Russell Westbrook went down, and the Thunder had problems. You know, Blake has had problems. I think Chris Paul or Chauncey Billups had problems.
Yep.
Last year, and that really goes into staying healthy throughout the playoffs is kind of a luck kind of thing, and being able to get to that finals and stay there and to win it all, you kind of have to have that luck. You can have every strength you want on paper and put it together with your coach, but if you get that bad injury, you really need a guy who's stepping up. You know, not everybody's
yeah.
the Dallas Mavericks with Caron Butler injured winning a championship.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's. I think we've seen it throughout the years. So many teams that were, you know, the Lakers themselves in 2004. If Karl Malone wasn't injured in the finals, do the Pistons win? You know, there was a lot of chemistry problems on that team, but
yeah, especially
they were hurting as well.
Especially when Kobe apparently hit on Karl Malone's wife.
Yeah, I mean,
wasn't it the other way around? Wasn't it Carl hitting on Kobe's wife?
It was actually. Yeah, it was.
Was it?
Also, the
I thought Kobe because I thought Karl Malone was
no that was
annoyed
the Kobe was coming off the allegations in Colorado.
Oh, okay.
My
apologies then, but from memory I thought it was
the point
Malone,
is there was a lot of dysfunction.
Yes.
On the team, so
yeah.
Is what we can take away from that, but also the injuries. So and like you said, Pat, the Thunder last year, but so the Western race is going to be very interesting once again, and then you've even got the you know, it's very early days, but the Timberwolves are 3-1, so they've started off just as good as the Clippers, or the Suns are 3-1, so it remains to be seen how long they can keep that together. But you know, Philadelphia in the East, that they just lost their first game to the Warriors, who are also 3-1. So the Warriors have got the NBA championship belt. If you haven't seen that, NBA championship belt.com, which treats it like a wrestling championship where the defending champion loses the first game that they lose the belt, quote unquote, to the team, and then that team defends the belt. So the Warriors are the defending champions now, apparently. But but on the subject of Philadelphia, yeah, they beat my Bulls.
They beat
coming back
beat.
And
yep.
They beat your
yep.
balls. What?
the Bulls. Chicago.
Oh,
yeah.
Bulls. Sorry, yeah. The accent.
My apologies for my accent and recording this at 1:30 in the morning. So, my but yes, they beat Chicago in a rather disappointing loss. And Derrick Rose continues to struggle after a pretty decent preseason where he looked like his old self. He's suddenly out of rhythm again, unfortunately, as the games count again. But the Sixers had another impressive victory. They beat the Heat, of course, last week in a another impressive showing. Michael Carter Williams continues to turn heads, and
yeah, you got Rookie of the Week, wasn't it?
I got Player of the Week.
Player of the Week. Yep, that's
you
right.
Got you some really? Player of the Week. Yeah, yeah.
And it was Kevin Love who got the Western Player of the Week.
Yeah, which stands to reason with the Timberwolves. But Jeff Van Gundy had a great quote in the Nets Heat game last week when they were talking about it, and said basically it's early days. The bad teams don't know they're bad yet.
Yeah, so, I thought that was a good quote.
And you know, I know he didn't originate it. He said he was pulling out an old saying, but it is very apt that it's early. Young teams they're trying, and once the better teams that are struggling start to get it together, you know.
Was it that the bad teams don't know they suck yet, or was it bad yet?
Either way.
Yeah. I was just trying to
look at how it was. Philadelphia, they lost by 20 to Golden State, so.
Yeah.
That was their first loss. What? We're not good. I mean, Lakers blew out Clippers, and then they come out next game, and they get blown out. Wait, what? I thought we were good.
Yeah, and they lost to the Mavericks, I believe, rather handily. Yesterday, from when we're recording this as well. So they're 2-3 as people continue to expect Kobe back anytime, even though probably not walking through that door just yet. But actually, I read today that Steve Nash is still battling nerve damage stemming from that broken or the fractured leg he had. So which sounds rather nasty.
I didn't even know he had a fractured leg.
Early last season when he missed all that time.
Oh crap! All right.
He had
that's right. I was thinking it was like later in the season that may have happened because, yeah, snap. Okay. Snap.
Quite literally snap and actually suffered some nerve damage, which never particularly pleasant, obviously. And so apparently that's still an issue. And it doesn't really bode well for the Lakers. And I know that breaks your heart as a Clippers fan, Pat, you know, that. The fan base, it's constantly said, you know, that team doesn't belong here. Now they're the ones that, oh well. But, as I said, from my perspective, it's been a bit disappointing to see Rose struggle a bit and the Bulls lose a couple of very winnable games, although Rose did hit the game winner against the Knicks, so which is so far the Bulls' only victory. But and they got a tough one tomorrow against the Pacers in Indiana, so, yeah. And your Heat, Ben, they're 3-2. They lost two games for the first time since January.
Yeah,
and shortly before the big 27 game winning streak.
Yeah, that's true. I know Wade and LeBron had a long off season break in that, especially with LeBron getting married. You know, he had enjoyed a bit of his life, so they're just finding their rhythm. You know, there was already people after the first loss, you know, saying, oh, it's over, you know. And then after the second straight loss, it was like, well, looks like free agency is going to happen and all that stuff. But I don't know, people were just...
Yeah. Two games into the season, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, just calm the trolling down. But yeah, it's early days. And in the first month, even 6 weeks of the season... You know, teams are going to sort of find their legs and that and adjust to their roles and stuff like that. So, and the chemistry will build up again. So, yeah, they won today without Chris Bosh against the Raptors. Yep. So,
let's see what they're going to do tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's Eclipse.
Yeah. So, looking forward to that. Oh, yeah. Who's going to do the biggest dunks and alley-oops and stuff like that?
Who's going to fight?
No. Oh, true.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that Anton Jamison is going to have the best dunk in the game.
Can he even still get up?
I believe so. It might not be the most spectacular dunk you've ever seen. But I predict he's going to bring out something special.
I was just picturing...
He's going to channel Oladipo. And 360.
I was just picturing like Molman with the robotic android legs in the Senior Olympics. That's the only way. It's the only way he's gonna dunk. That
he's gonna jam it, son.
Yeah.
I apologize. Actually, the playoff series I want to see after last week's game is indeed the Nets and the Heat. I reckon that could be a really good 7-game series this year because. Well, partly because the Nets, half of them are the Celtics. So the rivalries were kind of inbuilt there
yep.
already. So
it's just shifted location. It's almost like the team moved instead.
Yeah. Relocated, yeah.
Yeah.
The Brooklyn Celtics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But an interesting result is New York.
Yeah, to the losing to the Bobcats.
Yeah, but even still, they're 1-3, and their fans have been booing them in their home games.
Well, that's New York. I mean,
yeah, that's true. I mean, they draft someone and they boo. So, but yeah, it's I know. I'm just starting to see some pitchforks and burning torches in that very soon if they keep up this losing streak.
Well, it's funny. Jeff X, one of our longtime members, who's probably one of the most passionate Knicks fans around, and one of the few people in our forum that was actually alive when the Knicks won the championship. Two championships in the 70s.
That doesn't sorry, that just started picturing like some 70-80-year-old player, or like the oldest NFL player. And he's like,
I'm 53 years young. And I do believe Jeff X is around about 52-53 now, but no, he's not in his 70s, he's in his 50s. Yeah, so, and he posted a link in the forum today about how Dolan, the Knicks owner, instructed the Knicks cheerleaders to stop dancing because he was so disgusted with the performance of the teams. Like, there's nothing to cheer or dance about. So,
damn.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of, and he's set this, you know, championship or bust mentality, which is, I guess, is kind of good. That I mean, that's the big thing about him, that, you know, he doesn't care as long as the team makes money. So I guess it's nice that he cares that much. But there's probably, of all the people that are responsible for the Knicks being stagnant, his ownership's probably. Or his father's ownership is probably has had a bit to do with that, with some of the decisions they've made over the years. Isaiah Thomas, but yeah, it was kind of fun, a funny story. But yes, they're definitely not happy with that start. They're, and one of those losses is, of course, coming at the hands of the hated rival Chicago Bulls and Derrick Rose's late heroics. So I'm okay with that, you know, because that's the Bulls' only win of the season. So. Yeah, I mean, do you see the Knicks doing anything this year? I think they're going to be about the fifth or sixth seed, looking at the you know, who I think is going to be top four. I think the Bulls are going to recover. Of course, you've got the Nets, the Pacers, and the Heat, of course. But so I guess that leaves the Knicks at fifth at best.
Yeah, yeah, well,
do you see them any better than that? I mean, it seems like Brooklyn is the the state's premier team now.
Yeah, I can see a lot of bandwagon jumping happening. Even though, yeah, it's in the same city, I suppose it's like it's fans leaving to the Clippers now.
Well, the banners are being covered up.
So. Yeah, so it could be a situation of that. Who was it? Was it Charles or Kenny who didn't have the Knicks as their team that they think would make the playoffs in their top eight?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I didn't catch
okay.
that.
Okay. It was opening night and their sort of predictions and all that stuff for who's going to make the top eight. And I think it may have been Shaq. Yeah, it was Shaq, sorry. And yeah, he didn't even have the Knicks in the top eight.
Ouch.
Yes. And, so yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's if the team chemistry issue is what's falling to the downside and all that, I mean, Melo can only carry the team so much, and right now I suppose the Knicks are a little bit concerned with Tyson Chandler's injury.
Yeah.
Where he took the hit to the sort of knee area with, was it Kemba Walker or Malcolm Kilgourkrist?
Yeah. I think Kilgourkrist, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Took an arrow to the knee, if you
will. Yeah. Good old Skyrim. So, yeah, it's... I know. I
used to be an all-star like you.
Yeah, it took a...
And I took a player to the knee.
I took a Gilchrist to the knee. I took an MKG to the knee.
Caused nerve damage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know Knicks are a mixed bag. If they get in the playoffs, yeah, anywhere between 5th and 7th. I think there could be some surprises. And I think the Knicks' low standings will be one of those surprises.
Pat?
Paul George.
Paul George?
27 points a game. 4-0 Pacers. There's a surprise. Weren't they about to trade him in the offseason?
That was Danny Granger, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it Danny Granger?
Yeah, there was talks of Danny Granger, yeah.
Granger's they signed George that extension, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Danny Granger's a free agent this upcoming offseason, so yeah, I think it would have been him that they were dealing.
Yeah, what do you guys think of that? It's pretty much leading the league almost.
Yeah, well, early MVP candidate, but I mean, didn't we say the same thing about Harden last year, and then LeBron is LeBron, so. but I mean, definitely give the guy his due. He's he emerged in the against the Heat last year, did a fine job in. I think he kind of disappeared a bit in Game 7, and thus so did the Pacers. But yeah, I mean, that was his coronation. I was going to say coming out party, but that's unfortunately this day that takes on wrong connotations. But certainly the emergence of Paul George in the Eastern Conference Finals last year definitely so seems to be a legitimate star in the league, and that means Danny Granger, once the seemingly the franchise player of the Pacers. Yeah, is either going to have to take a pay cut to stick around, or he's moving on, I guess.
And Roy Hibbert. I mean, look at his defensive game this season. He's already had a couple of games with, like, 7-plus blocks already. So, defensive player of the year.
Oh, he's candidate. Legit.
Yeah, so, yeah. And I've got him on my fantasy league team. Yay. Definitely helps.
Just have to remember to put him in the game when they need to stop. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Well, you're a Heat fan, so you're quite happy about that. But I mean,
that was such a stupid move by the coach that time. So I think you would have learned from that lesson. You keep your shot blocker in the dying stages of a game.
Oh, it's not like LeBron, you know, takes it to the hoop or anything.
Yeah,
it's not like they played some elite teams. I mean, Magic, Pelicans, Cleveland, and Detroit. Yeah. They're 4-0. It's expected.
That's true. But, you
they're
know,
all
just
running to the young guys, running to the hole, throwing the ball up. Roy Hibbert's like, thank you.
But, you know, like 21 blocks in 4 games. That's
five
games, sorry. No, yeah, 4, sorry. That is impressive.
In a league where so many bigs just try to take charges now, I like to see that.
And, you know, and he threw up that nice lob pass to Paul George today as well. Mm-hmm.
Well, who did Oladipo have the 360 against? That was the Nets, wasn't it? Brooklyn.
Yes, because he stole it off. Yeah. Deron Williams. Yes,
that's right.
That was a nice 360.
I mean, obviously, dunks don't get you Rookie of the Year. well, maybe they do, but he's
well. It got Chris Webber though.
He might have done a couple of things as well.
But the sort of around the back dunk over Charles Barkley is
Charles, yeah.
Yep, that got him over the line.
Of course, but Pat, who's your It seems silly to do early picks,
five
games into the season. But at the same time, you know, Michael Carter-Williams is obviously getting a lot of attention. You know, a near quadruple double, or you know, in the territory, almost a triple-double, almost, you know, then a few steals shy, or sorry, a few rebounds shy, rather, of a quadruple-double on top of that. But, I bring it up because I mentioned Anthony Bennett before, and he's, I think, hasn't hit a field goal yet, or he's north of 15 in his last couple of games or something like that. I'll just bring up the stats now. But, not really working out so well for Bennett. I thought he might pick it up a bit because there seems to be potential there. But, not so much. Let me see. Anthony Bennett. 0.5 points per game, I'm going to say. Nope. In the 4 games, he is, in fact, 0 of 15 from the field. Only averaging about 13 minutes a game. But even so, that's your number one pick. Do you think a lot of teams are going to be regretting passing on Michael Carter-Williams? Or is this just a bit of a flash in the pan?
I think it's early. You look at the 76ers team and you go, well, who do they have? They got Evan Turner. They don't really have anybody who's a ball dominator, so he's stepping up. But it's going to be a point where either he passes that threshold of this early superstardom and solidifies himself, or there's going to be that brick wall where it's like, welcome to the NBA, you're not actually that good, you're going to have to step it up a little harder, buddy. He's getting all this stuff, but look at his field goal percentage is 40%. So we've seen this before. Give him the ball, he does stuff, he scores, his numbers look big, and then you look at how many times he's pretty much dominating the ball. So I see it as an early indication of, you know, possible. Obviously, if he continues like this, he's going to get Rookie of the Year. But
yeah,
later on, when they try to give him that franchise spot, then something's going to happen, and he's going to either he gets better or he kind of drops off and just becomes another solid scorer for a team. But good, yeah. But early impressive numbers, and never I don't think I expected that.
Well, no, he had a rather pretty ordinary summer league and preseason, if I remember correctly. Just looking back at the Cavalier stats again, Andrew Bynum has actually made his return as well. He missed all of last season, as did Derrick Rose, of course. And just bringing up his statistics, he's only playing about 12 minutes a game, but averaging 6 points, 3 rebounds, assist, almost 2 blocks a game, though, in 12 minutes, though, shooting under 30% from the field. Not so great for a player of Bynum's caliber, but... I mean, the Cavaliers took the chance on Bynum, and I think only $8 million is guaranteed of the 2-year contract. So I guess it's worth the roll of the dice. And Ben, you of course you're a Heat fan, so you've got Oden in there.
Yeah, he's yet to he hasn't played yet, has he? No. And we also got Beasley back, so.
He can afford to take chances, though. You know, I saw some people in the forum talking about how it could ruin. And so, well, worst case scenario, they cut them. You know.
Yeah, exactly. And
is it going to have Beasley on the team, and then LeBron James? Oh, I suddenly forget how to play basketball.
Yes. Sorry, I was a little distracted. I was actually trying to look up something from. I was actually trying to look up the roster for the Magic Johnson All Stars game, because I just remembered I went to that a few, like, when it came out, and I was just trying to see who he bought on his All-Star roster, but I'm not having any luck finding it at the moment. So, my apologies for that. I got distracted by a bumblebee, as one would say. Can you repeat the initial question? Sorry.
Oh, well, the I saw a couple of people speculate that... The presence of Beasley with all these problems would cause problems for the Heat, and he's not on a guaranteed contract. They can cut him. It's not going to, like, he's going to make LeBron James forget how to play basketball.
True. Yeah, no. I think.
And if anyone can afford to take chances, it's the defending champions who still have their core intact.
Yeah, so. I mean, they took the chance on Birdman last season, and we saw how that paid off.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I mean, and you know, Birdman's had the history of the drug situation as well. You know, he's had that suspension because of
banned from the league. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, and he's turned it around. So hopefully, Birdman can be a bit of a mentor in that sense, and being able to help turn Beasley around with his incidents and stuff like that. So yeah, I think there's definitely a good chance that. Beasley could pay off, as well as Oden. So yeah, because we're going to definitely need another big man to play.
Well, I think that's something that the Nets showed. As much as some late game heroics by LeBron and Mario Chalmers at a big three as well, but the size of the Nets just really seemed to frustrate the Heat, and I think they out rebounded them by 10 at least. And so again, if there's the size is definitely going to cause them some problems. And again, I'd love to see the Nets... truth be told, I'd love to see the Bulls in the finals and winning the championship, but, you know, I'd also love to see a Nets and a Heat clash. You know, if it came down to that, I think that would be a pretty good Eastern Conference Finals too.
Oh, for sure.
Anything else you wanted to bring up this week, Pat, on the NBA front?
I think that's it. One thing, some anonymous GM said that they were tanking. To me, that sounds like it's not true. I honestly think that if you look back at the media and in journalism, there's always these rumors and odd stories trying to, you know, what is it? What do they call it? Shake the or milk the pot or something? I don't remember the phrase,
stir the pot.
But yeah, they say this anonymous.
I do like milk the pot, though. That's we should own that one.
Fork the pot.
But there's also the saying, "Shake the sauce bottle."
Yeah,
fair shake of the sauce bottle.
Mm. But yeah. Sorry, go on, Pat.
If you ever look at what really happens in the NBA as far as transaction and rumors, and then you go back and study the journalists and what they were reporting, you see it's hogwash. It's it's like nowhere near the what was happening. I was like, wait a minute, is this true or is this based on a story? Why? How did they find out this contact? How did they get this anonymous gene? Was it a phone call? They could probably recognize his voice if it was. Was it emails? Was it a close conversation with secrets or something? You know, I'm sure Tank...
like celebrity news, you know, a friend says, a close source says.
Yeah, the source, yeah, close source to somebody says that this story is going to make something happen that we want, get you interested to read our articles. I'm sorry. Yeah, but the thing is, tanking is so hard in the NBA. Is it really worth it with most of the major markets getting the superstars and the franchise teams?
And you've only got 25% chance of winning the lottery anyway, at best. So.
And yeah, and it was, you look at the San Antonio Spurs and what they built. That must have been so difficult over the years to get there. Is it worth tanking for a Minnesota? Is it worth tanking for a Sacramento? Somebody going to want to come to your team because you guys suck? I mean, you look at the Clippers over the years. They finally landed a few players because of a good draft. They brought that excited player in, and then they just luckily they couldn't get LeBron, and then Chris Paul was vetoed to L.A., so they picked him up for the Clippers, and that just kind of worked out.
Yeah.
You know, and you look back a couple years ago with the Elton Brand acquisition. I think he was traded from the Bulls to the Clippers. And then they ended up with a lucky trade, getting rid of Marco Jarić for Sam Cassell. And that just sort of solidified the control of their team. And they were able to get pretty far in the playoffs, but they were a bit too old at that point and kind of just, they didn't have those pieces. But that's one of those things where you look at, does tanking really help you? Is that 18, 19, 21 year old guy going to, what's the percentage? What's the probability of that person bringing the better players from the NBA that want to come and play with them to your franchise
in a small market or with other challenges? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that tanking works.
I mean, I think with tanking, I'm sure it happens at the end of the year where they pretty much raise the white flag and say, okay, you know what, the season's lost. That I believe, and I can also see with the Sixers, for example, you know, okay, let's blow it up and start again. We'll try, you know, and obviously they are trying. The young guys are putting in the effort and hats off to them, but we'll go out there, we'll do what we can as we scrap everything to start over. That's what we do. But, I mean, as far as actually going out and planning how to lose and everything, I think that's giving too much credit to some teams that are actually that bad. I mean...
Right, and think about this. You've got players who are trying to solidify careers. You've got coaches and staff members who want a job and want to move up and improve themselves. You think, oh, you know what? We're not going to win. I'm a rookie. I'm going to play poorly so I don't get signed next year and we get a better player win my spot. Wait, what? No, that doesn't work. It doesn't make sense.
Well, look at
all. I'm a coach. I'm going to lose on purpose so we can get a better team next year. Whoops, I got fired.
Exactly. Look at all the coaches who were in the playoffs last year. George Karl was coach of the year. He got fired. So, I mean,
I mean,
there's some ridiculous stuff going on there, of course, with Lionel Hollins and George Karl and whatnot. But, I mean, if those guys can get fired, a tanking coach is definitely going to be shut the door. So, like you say, you're trying to keep your job. And, I don't really buy the conspiracy. I mean, it's interesting. It's like you say, it certainly gets people talking, whether it's true or not. But, an anonymous GM and... I guess everyone's saying it's the Sixers, but then of course we were talking about it before the podcast, before we started recording, and you noted that Michael Jordan came out and said, "Oh, we know you'd never tank," so you know clearly denial is the revelation that it was the Bobcats, but
it was definitely him. It's like, oh, it wasn't me. Let me deflect away, go over there.
Because losing is something that Michael Jordan really enjoyed, you know. The stories of how Michael Jordan lost with a smile, you know, that's certainly his makeup as a player and individual, you know. I don't know. It's difficult to know whether to believe it or not. It's certainly an interesting little piece. But, yeah, I just don't buy the teams set out to think, okay, we are going to lose every single game, you know, like that episode of South Park where they're sick of playing baseball all summer and they're trying to find ways to lose so they can get out of the Champions League that they're in. But anything to add, Ben? Do you buy into the conspiracy or yeah?
I wouldn't really be surprised if a couple of teams do attempt it, but they'd be stupid enough to come out and admit it Because, yeah, there'll be a lot of backlash from the fans. But I think they'll attempt it without it looking too obvious now, if they were still to have a crack at trying to get Wiggins and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Riggin' for Wiggins.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I've seen it suggested that the Lakers are tanking. I think it's just a case of their Kobe's out, the roster's fairly mediocre, and Mike D'Antoni doesn't know what to do with that team. So I think that's giving them too much credit. I think they're just not doing a good job. And that's one thing what it comes down to. But I guess that's pretty much about it for this week, wouldn't you say, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't have anything else to add.
Not to worry then. Yeah. It's early in the morning for all of us. But yes, that is going to do it for another episode of the NLSC podcast. If you enjoyed it, you can, of course, subscribe to us on iTunes or continue to stream it right here on the NLSCNBA-live.com. Please follow us on Twitter at the NLSC. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. We post our updates there, so you can get a link to the latest news and a few other fun things here and there. Always like to hear from you, so hit us up there with your comments, questions, etc., including suggestions for future mailbags. But that is going to wrap it up for this week. I'm Andrew.
I'm Patrick.
I'm Arcane.
And we should really work that out beforehand.
Yes.
See you next week.
See you.